The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm Karen from Arizona, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 207 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on the show, as always, is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Okay, we did a little run today, huh?
Yeah, it's getting ready for Goofy training, which, you know, when we talk to folks, running folks, this year I'm saying I'm only doing Goofy, but getting up there today. Yesterday was 4 miles, 5 miles, and then today 12 miles. So
that's right.
Beautiful fall day. So thanks for coming out and running with me. Part of the way anyway.
Yeah. Did only 8 miles, but I'm not Goofy. So. Well, I am, but I'm not.
You know, I can't decide if I mean, I think this temperature would be absolutely perfect. It was 50 today, but still a little cold for me.
Yeah,
I like it
okay.
On the warmer side
yeah.
Better. But
you know, once you get going, you know.
Yeah. We have some announcements, don't we?
We have some announcements. First off, we want to remind everyone about the Fantasmic Dessert Party that we will be hosting at the Tower of Terror 10-miler weekend, and that dessert party will be held, of course, at the Hollywood Studios. It's a very, very special area in the back of the theater, and we will have tables, we will have chairs, we will have refreshments. The dessert's always good. It will be carbo-loading the night before.
Other Mickey Milers will be there.
Other Mickey Milers will be there. If you've never been to a Fantasmic dessert party, You need to go. This is really, really something. We do have some slots left, but it's closing pretty fast. We are looking at a cutoff date. We haven't gotten one yet, but we will announce that soon. Just to let everybody know, if you're holding off on maybe you're making plans for something, and you may want to know when the cutoff date will be, we will announce that as soon as possible. But again, it's the Fantasmic Dessert Party. It's Thursday, October 2nd. We only have so many slots.
How do you sign up, Mike?
You go to our webpage, and we will have a link there to take you to the area that you have to go to sign up.
And Facebook page.
Facebook page,
yeah,
as
it's
well.
It's on the Facebook page.
That is
it's
correct.
Not on the webpage. And also, our show notes will have the link, too. All right, are we ready for a shout-out?
Go.
So when I was doing the 10K at Disneyland, I ran into somebody who you know, super friendly guy, one of the nicest Disney running friends we have. His name is Joe Kalinske from New York City.
Oh, Joe. Yep.
And nicest smile, just very friendly man. And he was there and he was just beaming because he was running the 10K with his daughter Chelsea. It was his her first 10K. And he just was, you know, it's so fun to run with your kids. He's just so excited. And she completed it. So this shout out is for Chelsea. Speaking of New Yorkers.
Speaking of New Yorkers, we have a special guest with us today. And everybody hold on to your seats because I'm going to say this name correctly. He and his colleague, Brad Meltzer.
Yay!
have collaborated on a number of books. I Am Amelia Earhart. I Am Rosa Parks. I Am Abe Lincoln, and today, September 16th, 2014, will be the release of their latest one, I Am Albert Einstein. And I know, Michelle, you and I have special interest in this one, don't we?
I'm just like, I'm over the top. I was texting Chris yesterday from Barnes & Noble to see if it was out, but it was not out yet. Nope, but nope, we'll let Chris tell why.
Yes, and also I'm looking forward to January 2015 when I Am Jackie Robinson
cool.
is released.
So who is it? Who do we have
it's
on the
show? It's the one and only. He is the man who has he has a strip called Desperate Times. He also has done Misery Loves Sherman. He's done so many things for Marvel Comics. He's a, I guess you might call him, he designs
fonts. He's a renaissance man.
He's a renaissance man. He's a personal friend of ours. We love him. Chris Iliopoulos from Astoria, New York. Hello, Chris.
Well, that was where I was born anyway. But okay. And now that you've talked so much, we're done with the show. Good night, everybody.
Tip your waitresses. I have to laugh because out of the two names, Meltzer or Eliopoulos.
You would think, right?
You would think that Eliopoulos would be a little harder to pronounce, but for some reason...
He's had more time to practice with my name.
I've been practicing ever since. So
Chris, are you going to tell everybody why I Am Albert Einstein is the best of all your books so far?
Well, of course. as we are wont to do in these books, we hide things. We have little Easter eggs in there, like there are secret numbers, secret codes, secret names. But we've also snuck in family members and friends and family. So in this particular volume, there's a couple of podcasters that we might know who will be that were snuck into the actual book. So you'll get to see Michelle and Mike in the book, but you got to look for them, as well as Becky Mencken. And I even think I snuck in Len Testa as well. I put in, and just for the science community, I put in Bill Nye the Science Guy, which is another Disney reference. And
right next to Michelle.
Right next to Michelle, as she told me it had to be. If you're going to put me in, you put me in next to Bill.
That's so cool. And, thank you so much. Yeah. What a privilege.
No, it's fun.
And you're in there too with your family, right?
Yeah, that's been sort of one of the ongoing bits that we do in the books is we've put our family members in there. So Brad's family, he's got two sons and a daughter, and so you'll see his wife and kids in there, and then my twins and my wife are in there, and so we sneak everybody in all the time, and we sneak in a whole bunch of other stuff too. It's like sometimes I forget what we sneak in until people remind us. So. But, you know, we do stuff like we hide the next person, the next hero into each book. So I started doing that in the first one. Oh. And so you can, if you have a sharp eye, you can find them somewhere within this book. You'll see who the next.
Now I got to go back. Wow. I have all the other books. I'm going to go back and read them. Mm-hmm. Great. So, thank you so much. It's such a privilege. I'm just
that's like, fun. Yeah, always I'm so fun.
Excited. I know you're excited. Mike's bored. He's just like, whatever.
I want to. I want to buy Albert Einstein for my grandson and granddaughter, and I'm looking forward
to... So they can see you in the book?
So I can show them. No. Of course, no.
Granddad's
because they
in
can
there.
Learn about Albert Einstein, and if they just happen to see Papa there, you know...
All the better.
All the better.
Well, I was saying to Chris, I don't know if it's because I'm an elementary school teacher and I've just read so many books, but just to be in a book is just such a privilege. So... Thank you so much. But we're not here to talk about.
Yeah.
We're just here to talk about Disney running.
Yeah. Has nothing to do with running.
You know, Michelle and I talked about the topic that this particular show is about, and we thought it would only be fair for you to introduce this topic to everybody who's listening.
Because it wasn't our idea.
It was your
idea. And it wasn't
idea.
My
no,
idea.
No, it wasn't his idea.
Oh, it wasn't. That's right.
No.
So why don't you tell us who came up with the idea and what it's about? Because it's very interesting.
Well, it's funny. So you know my wife, Audra, and she's not one to be on social media or podcast or anything. She's just like, she doesn't want the attention. But we were, I don't know why we were, I guess we were talking about the podcast at one point, and she's like, they really need to do an episode mentioning the unmentionables. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what is that? And she's just like, you know, one of those, like, you got to warn people about some of the things that nobody really wants to talk about, but really are something that you really should bring up. And I tried to ask for examples, and she gave me a few. And I think I mentioned it to you, Michelle, over text one day, and you were like, we're in. That's it. So this episode is actually her idea, and she won't come on, so I have to take her place. So I took notes today. I asked her. I sat her down and said, give me the notes. So most of these notes that I'm going to be talking about are hers. So
well, thank you, Audra. Yeah, I hope you listen to this, even if you're not on the show. But thank you. I think it's a great idea. So can you talk about what you mean by unmentionables?
Well, I'll give the male one up first. Just
like, but what is your definition of an unmentionable?
It's
things that runners don't usually talk about, but we should talk about.
Yeah, just, you know, so like in my case, bleeding nipples. I mean, you know, you need the Band-Aids or the Glide. And most people won't, you know, you don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. Or like you need Body Glide in certain parts of your body that, you know, you really shouldn't be talking about. Or you don't talk about in mixed company. And so those were the things, like, you know, and she even mentioned that while training for marathons, she would have no problem with certain things. But then on marathon day, bang, it would just happen, you know, the black toenails or the, you know, or you know, chafing.
So the whole idea behind this podcast is to kind of get it out there so that when people do these longer runs, especially, or the shorter runs, that they're protected against these problems.
Right.
All right. So should we start with what you think is the first one?
Sure.
In no particular order of importance.
Okay. Well, like I said, I don't know. See, it's weird. Again, see, I feel awkward even mentioning it about for women. But with men, you know, sometimes you see on the course the bleeding nipples and you see the blood and you go, wow, these people didn't realize that they really needed something, whether it be Body Glide or Band-Aids or something, you know, or waterproof Band-Aids because they also do fall off. I mean, I know that most women wear sports bras, but I don't know if they get affected because, you know. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, it's not affected me. I don't know any women who it has affected. But the idea is that your shirt is rubbing up against your chest over and over again.
Right.
And so that you need to protect them when you're running. And so their nipples here. Band-Aids, Body Glide. And aren't there things
something
that you can buy?
Something called nips, I've heard, that
right.
you can buy.
Things that, and so you put those on. And so... This is an issue that you've had, Chris?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I somehow knew to wear Band-Aids, and I did not have waterproof Band-Aids on one time when I was out running, and I was think I was doing like a 15 or 20 mile run, and they fell off like at mile 10. And yeah, I had the bleeding going on, and you know, it just hurt. Like it hurt to run with your shirt on, and like there were points where I was just like running with my hands holding my shirt out as I was running because it was so painful.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah, it gets bad. So
well, some woman will correct me about this. I've never heard this happening to women. I think it's a man thing. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I didn't know if it was a problem, but I know for a lot of men it can be. So
I remember seeing at one of the expos, I remember seeing a t-shirt that had something like that. I forget what
like
the
Band-Aid, like pretend Band-Aids on it. On the
it was a t-shirt, and it looked like it was a man's chest, and it was bleeding. And I forget what the phrase was, but it was pretty funny. And I thought, you know, it'd be funny to see someone wearing that. I never really had that problem. I used to have like irritation, but for some reason it no longer happens. I don't know why. But I don't do anything special. But it's something very, very important to make known, especially for the novice runner who is starting to approach September and October and needs to build up mileage. And as you build up the mileage, the potential for this, you know, also builds up as well. So this is good stuff. All right, so let's move on to another one. Maybe I can contribute to something. I think that when you talk about chafing, there are certain places.
Let's talk about
let's
chafing.
Talk about
shall
chafing.
We?
Oh boy, that's a big subject.
I won't. You can imagine. I'm sure everyone out there can imagine where, if you run for a long time, where your chafing is going to take place. And there are a number of things you can do to prevent that. I know that, Michelle, you're a big fan of Glide. I am a big fan of Vaseline. And I try to remember. I don't always remember, but it depends upon how many miles. If I'm going out to do a double-digit run, or maybe 2 hours of double digits or whatever, I'm thinking about, I probably should play it safe. And so I take care of all those places that I think I'm going to need it. But, you know, there are a couple places that people may not think about, like under your arms. Sometimes people don't think about that. And a lot of people think about, they put Vaseline between their toes. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but that's another thing. Chris, do you use anything to prevent any chafing?
Yeah, my wife turned me right on to Body Glide. So, you know, and it's weird spot, like, okay, like let's pretend we're doctors or something. But, you know, there are like jointed areas down, as my wife calls it, the nether regions. And, you know, especially if you're wearing, you know, if you're wearing tidy whities or whatever kind of underwear you're wearing, it could ride up and you also get a lot of friction that way too. So, I've done a lot of Body Glide, but I've also done, Vaseline afterward. If I did miss a spot, as they say, it tends to cool things down a little bit. So
yeah, it's hard to get the Body Glide in some of the places that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, I'm going to speak from a woman's point of view here. If you're wearing a bra, really any place that the bra touches really could be a place that you could have Body Glide. So up under the straps, underneath everything, any of those places that, you know, when you think of you're running 10 miles, 12 miles, 15 miles, it doesn't matter. Even if you're running a shorter distance and the temperature is warmer, those are potential for chafing and things like that. So My rule of thumb is any place that is going to rub against a piece of fabric over and over again or rub against another piece of skin over and over again gets Body Glide. So for me, that's, you know, that is the bra area. But also, Mike, I put it in between my toes and on my toes, on my toenails and on the tips of my toes. And I just put it, my whole foot is pretty much covered in Body Glide because I used to get blisters. And now that I have a toenail missing and I'm covering it with a Band-Aid, now I get blisters on the toe next to the one with the Band-Aid. So any place that's touching something else that's going to be rubbing, the Body Glide is just fantastic. It really, this should be a Body Glide episode. So, but I'm trying to think anywhere else. Yeah, that's pretty much any place that touches
thighs,
fabric,
like, you know, if, like sometimes
in
you
between
know.
Your thighs. Yep, sometimes in between your thighs. I actually put it sometimes in the crooks of my arms too, because I don't know, just sometimes
on the real hot humid days.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting too, because sometimes, like she was saying, my wife was saying to me that. You know, you're leading up to all these trainings and we've never had these problems before. And then they all crop up on the day of a run, you know, of the race. So, you know, she's like, nobody told me that this was going to happen. I was running 20 miles, you know, at a clip and I didn't have any of these problems. And then I remember her first marathon, you remember, was the frozen one, you know, the one with the snow and the ice and the low temperatures. So she was really, you know, wearing a lot of clothes. And when she came home, she like was like, you go get me Vaseline now. Like she was in real pain. She's like, I don't understand why I didn't have this problem leading up to this, but I did today. So there's always an opportunity to get pain.
I think especially, you know, in Florida with the weather conditions, usually more humid too, that the chance of rubbing and so just err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. Do you have another one, Chris?
Since you were already on toenails, my wife was much into her mani-pedis, finally gave up the ghost and said that forget about having the nice toenails, clip them down and make sure that you don't have an opportunity to blacken and lose a toenail. She learned that lesson. I learned that lesson too, but you never know when stuff like that will happen, and it's like it kills you too because then it affects your running afterward.
So I have a story about that, Chris. So on the inaugural Twilight Zone Tara 10 mile, I don't think you were there. I happened to be injured. I shouldn't have run that race, but I did, and I finished it. And we were hanging around with some friends afterwards, and I know one, Charlie Gessner. Charlie said to me, Mike, what's going on with your foot? And I looked down on my foot, and we all remember Curt Schilling in the 2004 World Series, and he had the bloody sock. Well, not only did I have a bloody sock, but I had a bloody shoe. What happened was that while I was running, and I knew there was something that was bothering me, one of my toenails was so long it dug into the toe of the next toe and actually caused it to bleed. So I had a very colorful shoe that day. So mm-hmm. I agree. You need to always keep your eyes on the toes and on the toenails.
Yeah, I actually, this is not really an unmentionable, but I actually found out recently, I suspect that the reason I lost my toenail was not because I didn't cut it down, because like Audra, I used to get pedicures before I lost my big toenail. But the reason is that my shoes, I was wearing a size bigger, and I should have been wearing a size and a half bigger. My toe is actually touching the toe box wasn't big enough, so I needed actually even a bigger shoe. So I moved up to another half size, and I haven't had any issues since then. So,
but
yeah, got to watch out for those toenails.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, she was doing the same thing too. One day she came home from a run, like you were saying, Mike, and she freaked out. Her whole sock was covered in blood. There was blood inside of the shoe, and she thought, oh my God, I had really done something bad. And it wound up being that she just sort of cut her other toe with a nail, and it had been bleeding on it. Cause you know, you run on it on 15 miles or 10 miles and it keeps pumping the blood cause your heart's racing. And so just be careful.
All right. I have another one.
Go ahead.
This is pretty gross, but it's unmentionable. So, often when I'm running long distances, now let me set the stage. Part of my job, before I had kids, was to help to lead safaris to Africa. So I can squat and go anywhere and with lots and lots of no problem at all. So I run on the rail trail. There are a lot of places. If you have to go to the bathroom, you can. So it's a two-parter. First of all, always bring tissues with you. Those little, you know, packages of tissues in case you have an issue. But I also now am getting to the point where the night before a long run, in addition to being really careful, I take an Imodium so that I won't have an issue when I'm out, you know, 14 miles out and there's no porta potty there. So be prepared for number ones and number twos when you're out on the trail.
You take it the night before?
Yeah, I take it the night before. So I bring the little tissues with me. And if I have to go into the woods, I have those. But I just have had so many times when I've been out sort of in the middle of nowhere and I really, you know, really need to go to the bathroom. And so that's what I've started to do. I just take an Imodium. And it's helped a lot. It's really helped a lot.
Does it dehydrate you at all? Or?
Mm-mm. Nope. Okay. Yeah, just one, not two, just one. But it's not a habit of something I'd like to do every day. But for some reason, my stomach, just something happens when I'm doing long distances. And now.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, we can parlay this over into which is what something she said. If you've never done these kind of races and you go, even if it's Disney, the unmentionable thing is these porta-johns are pretty bad when you're doing those big races. So be prepared for some really disgusting stuff there. Nobody kind of warns you that, you know, there could be feces like spread across the walls of a porta-john, or, you know, because people just go and run. And there have been many occasions where I've seen some horrible things. So but I never mention it. So
breathe through your nose, you breathe through your mouth. And
oh, well, no,
or not, I mean, breathe at all. Hold your breath while you're
I'll tell you, on the last one we went to, I noticed it was sort of like the typical, you know, how you go online at like a supermarket and there's one lane where there's nobody online and you're like, wow, look at this. How great is this? I'll go on and you realize that there's a reason. It's usually like the slowest cashier or a person who's taking forever to go through. I went up to a porta-john. It was like totally – nobody was going. I'm like, I'll go. And people are like, be careful. And I got within 3 feet and it was so horrible. It was like – it was a horror movie. It was just like – it was, you know, it was The Shining but inside of a porta-john. And they're like, see? And I went right to the back of the line.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So just be careful of those porta-johns.
Yeah. And, you know, for women, it's even more difficult sometimes. So anything else, Mike?
You know, I was thinking about the porta-johns and everything. And you know, Chris, I a couple of months ago, I was watching some show and they were talking about keeping yourself from catching colds and washing your hands and everything. And they said area. Do you want to guess the area in everybody's home that is the most susceptible to germs?
Your iPad.
Believe it or not, it's your faucet.
Get out.
Because you think about it, when you go into your bathroom or when you go into any restroom, you wash your hands. You turn on the faucet with your hands dirty. You wash your hands, and then you reach to turn off the faucet, and guess what? You're touching the place that had germs when you turned it mm-hmm. on. So that's why a lot of restrooms will have faucets that turn off automatically. But that's
something. Oh, great.
That,
thanks.
Yeah, I just thought I'd pass that on. I don't have any more unmentionables than I can think of. Do you guys have any?
I don't, but I have a suggestion. Does Chris have any?
There was a couple of things that it's not that they're unmentionable, but they something that people don't tell you. One of the things my wife likes to run with Pandora, and we've noticed that when you go to these big events, nobody kind of tells you that everybody is on doing phone calls, Instagrams, Twittering, what have you. You can get no signal in or out. And so she realized that she couldn't run that way. So she had to, you know, actually have the planned music. But it's something that nobody ever tells you, like that in that big giant crowd, there are so many people that internet service, even if it's over, you know, 4G, you're not going to get a signal.
Okay. That's a good one. I have another one for we've mentioned this on the show before, but on the races where there are mostly females, although it doesn't have to be a race like that, and you get to some of the bathrooms, like at the Ticket and Transportation Center, the women use the men's room. And I know that happened during the marathon, too, when we were near ESPN. The women used the men's room. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No, you just go in, and everybody sort of accepts it. Women always have to wait in line, but for these races, go in and use the men's room, and everybody's just doing their thing, getting in and out as fast as they can.
There's no sense of decorum. Go, just get in and go. Nobody really cares at that point because you know you're just off to the next, you know, run. Right. So,
Do you have another one?
Let's think. What else? Obviously, the proper clothes.
Go ahead.
No, she just said that. You taught her about the sweaty bands, which made an infinite impact on her in that she no longer has to worry about the hair and the sweating and the this and the that. She said they have been a godsend.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So the proper clothing was a big thing for her. They tell you just, you know, I know everybody likes to wear the costumes, but she was like, you know, just you got to be again, get the Body Glide out or the Vaseline if you're going to wear something that you don't normally wear.
So I guess this is kind of maybe a way to wrap it up. I was thinking for some of the unmentionables that we've had, are there items that we would suggest that people bring with them just in case any of these issues happen? Like, what would you, if you were running a longer race or, getting ready for your first race, whatever, what items would you bring with you to prevent these things from happening?
The one thing that she actually told me that she can't live without is Blistex. Mm-hmm. For some reason, for her, she does not ever feel dry or parched when she has the Blistex to put on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I actually was, it's one of the things that saved me for the Boston Marathon because it was so dry. And I just happened to say, I'm going to, because I use chapstick or some sort of a lip stuff all the time. I threw some chapstick in my little pouch, and it really helped me from feeling like I was dry all the time in the mouth. So that's a good one. Anything you can think of, Mike?
Well, you know, going back to the Vaseline, I think of that. I also think of I think it's Gold Bond foot powder. I like to throw shake it a little bit into my socks before I put them on. I don't use Vaseline around my toes, but I like my feet to be dry, and the powder usually helps that. So the powder and the Vaseline are two things I definitely pack before I go on any race.
Chris, what about you?
I always thought about we've had these issues. An extra headset if you need your headset.
Yes. Because
there's nothing worse than training running with music or whatever, and then not able to have it during the big race. But I have the Band-Aids. I do tend to, on certain days, take allergy pills if need be, or I actually carry obviously the goo or some aspirin with me just for the sake of, you never know. Other than that,
and I
Purell.
Yes, Purell. Purell, now that
especially
we know
you
about
use the
faucets. Yep.
Yeah.
For me, it's the little thing of tissues. And they actually sell, and they sell them at the expos too, or at your local running store, the little tiny, tiny containers of Glide. So that if you start to, have you seen them, Chris?
They
come
in,
they come
in
packs of three. So if you happen to get halfway through and you're having an issue, because sometimes it just depends on what you're wearing. You know, it just may be a different day. The temperature might be different and you may say, oh my God, you know, I can feel that I'm going to have a big issue. These little tiny, they're really, really small packages of Glide. You can pull it out and address the issue.
Yeah, we've seen them. I think Fit to Run usually brings
Fit to Run,
them to the expo.
They have it in downtown Disney in the Fit to Run store.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool.
Very cool.
All right. Well, hopefully we've prevented some people from
bleeding, chafing, blistering.
All right.
All right.
Now that's what happens when I tell everybody. Yeah, we're
totally everybody. Silence on the other end, right?
Well, Chris, thank you for mentioning the Unmentionables.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to Audra.
Yes. She's a boss.
And while we have you, we ask this of everybody. When is your next Run Disney trip?
You know, I don't know at this point. It's funny. We decided to take the year off after doing the Dopey. And just because we wanted to kind of circle back and see what we were doing. I know we have a tentative plan to do Wine and Dine in 2015. You know, I've been running shorter runs but increasing my pace lately. But so like yesterday I kind of got back in the swing of things and did a 10-mile run and felt really, really good. So I might be doing some more sooner rather than later, but nothing planned just yet.
Cool.
It seems funny that Chris Aliopoulos would not be at an Avengers.
I know, or Star Wars.
Yeah. I know. I thought about it, but it's all the way across the country and I have so much stuff going on. It was such a hard trip going out there. For the half marathon that we did last year, it took a lot. I mean, we wound up having to stay a week, you know, to get in and, you know, at least to let the kids have a couple days, and the expenses of it all. So it's something I'd probably have to wrap around a larger trip.
Oh yeah, I agree. Well, we look forward to seeing you and Audra sometime soon, and the kids, of course. Boy, love the boys. And tell them we give them our best, and thank you for coming on the show, and good luck with the book. Books. Thanks.
Go out and buy it, everybody.
Please. They're going to college soon, please.
Get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Yep, everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you and your Unmentionables on the road. The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All-Star Vacation Homes with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All-Star Vacation Homes offer you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhouses near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.